We have electronic bank accounts, right? We have iPhones that have access to our bank accounts. So you would find it very strange if I came up to your phone and just decided to get it from you and take my liberty with your phone. Well, maybe I'll transfer some bank funds over to my phone. And how many of you have ever done the uncertain shiver when you wonder if you deleted all the pictures off your phone that you don't want anybody else to see, and you begin to see them flip through the pictures and your hand begins to tremble because you think, my God, I've done it now. Oh, my Lord, they'll go through the text and you might begin to shake. Church, let me ask you something. What are you doing in plain sight that the enemy has dominion over? What are you showing other people by what's on your phone, by what you watch, by what you listen to? What are we demonstrating to people that Christ is alive in us? I'm here to tell you that every work of the enemy is just like you putting a blanket over a candle, and it causes the light to go out every single time you show the world greater in you. People lose their faith in you. And then they join the rest of that bunch that says, well, Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. How many of you have ever said that before? You probably, yeah, don't raise your hand. You're not honest tonight. It's okay. Just keep it down. You don't want anybody to hate on you. I understand. Christians have even said that other Christians are hypocrites. Oh, don't get me started. I don't know if we're ready for real talk. I might have to come back another time. I'm here to tell you that you might think that your neighbor loves you all the time, but at some point they've hated on you just like they've hated on their problems, just like they've hated on the enemy on their back. You've got to be ready for even the people that are next to you and be aware of what's going on to even know how to handle a situation. Close the door, draw the line, and show the enemy where you take your problems. I feel that. If you're not taking your problems to the Lord, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a room full of problems. There may not even be anybody in the room, but you feel crowded. You might feel the walls closing in. Anxiety's at an all-time high. And let me tell you, anxiety medication's also at an all-time high. It'll try to keep you in a place and state of mind where you feel like that it's always on you, and until you have this little pill, everything else can't feel like the walls are going away. But Jesus came and died for you so that you didn't have to go by prescription. He came and died for you so that every anxiety could be under your feet. He said a perfect love would cast out every fear. And what's a perfect love? That's the love of God in you. So that means if you've been saved, you have a perfect love. And if you have a perfect love, no fear has a hold on you. Close the door and draw the line. Can we go on? Can we go on? What time we got? I'm trying to be mindful of the time. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. And while you're getting there, let me read these to you. Personal prayer time will help you to keep established the things you are believing by faith. It will allow God to help humble you in a trial. It will allow God to speak to you when you pray. And it allows for God to give you wisdom for the future. And most importantly, it gives peace in a time of stress. We are all overtaken by stress, even on a weekly basis. And without peace, we are nothing but wandering aimlessly lost. But he said he had the peace that goes beyond everything we could even comprehend. And that tells me that anything I've got, God can handle it. Let's read this. Luke 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let me read this to you. Setting and maintaining a made-up mind will produce stability and establish you. If you want things to change for you, you've got to make some priorities. I'm going to let you amen again. I'm going to let you amen one more time. Let me amen one more time. If you want things to change, you've got to set priorities. And you know what that means? There's going to be some other things that, oh, unfortunately, we're not going to have time for them anymore. This flipping through the phone, seeing what everybody else is doing on Facebook, you've got to find better time to do something with your life. And I'm not being insensitive, because I'm sure that there are some statuses worth celebrating. But it's not meant to take up all your time either. We've got to learn to align our priorities to match our faith. How can we come in and say, I believe God is a healer, and then never pray and flip through Facebook all day? Somebody talk to me. How can I believe that God is able to take down all the giants? And then I'm going through Instagram looking at junk I should not be looking at. Somebody talk to me tonight. I'm not saying it's something you should never use, but I'm telling you, if anything is a hindrance to you that keeps you from God, you need to think about it. Your faith must be met with priority. My wife prayed for me for 3 months when she had not seen me, knew where I was, knew what I was doing, didn't know if I was alive or dead, called people to fast even though she had not seen progress or heard of failure. Let me tell you something. When you begin to match priority with how you're believing by faith, the very foundation of the mountains begin to move. Let me tell you, when you begin to match priority with a little bit of faith, even when you don't see it happening, even when you don't see it coming to pass yet, that doesn't mean that it's not already in motion, and that doesn't mean that it's not already on the way. I'm telling somebody right now, you got to look at what you're doing, and if it does not align with God being first and you loving your neighbor as yourself, then everything else is unimportant. We have the first two priorities laid out for us, do we not? Love the Lord your God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the top two priorities for every human being. That was the commandments given by God for mankind. That was how we would know that we had the right priorities. So think about it for 15 seconds. And see if your priorities are matching up. Just take a minute and think about it. Are our days telling God that we really want to see it happen? Are our actions speaking louder than even our prayers, telling God, I believe you're more than able? Is what we're showing God as showing priority, showing Him that we really mean business? Because if there's people that can say, Lord, Lord, and He not know them, then there can be people that say they believe by faith and not see anything happen. Because until faith is met with a sincere heart, not half-hearted, not only when it's convenient. Listen, I'm not taking attendance, and I don't have a piece of paper that marks when you show up, but I'm telling you that God knows every time that you could be in the house of God and you choose not to be. I don't need no attendance marker to tell me when I should or should not be here. I don't need a guilt trip from anybody to tell me where I should be and should be doing, because I know that if God is first in my life, how many of you hear from the Lord? How many of you have ever felt that overwhelming feeling like, oh man, I know I've done something wrong? It's already, well, you almost talked yourself into going, but now it's already 7:15, and you're like, well, they already get going by 7:30. There's no point in me even showing up, but you still feel like you need to be there. Honey, I'm here to tell you that maybe we linger till 9 o'clock waiting on you, because when God wants you to be somewhere, you've got to learn to heed to it. And I'm here to tell you, anything else you put in the way will be wiped away like it was with the flood. Everything else will be wiped away when the judgment of God gets a hold of it. If it's not for you, not meant to prosper you, the Lord says He gives and He takes. Rains on the just and the unjust, does He not? Setting priorities will help you to align what is of lesser importance to your relationship with God. When I don't have time to get to my favorite television show, you know what? The entertainment industry has made it as easy as three letters. DVR. Maybe you don't have DVR. Maybe you don't know what it is. Let me tell you. You can get a service called DVR that if you don't have time to make it to your show Thursday night at 6:30, that you can record it and come back at Saturday whenever you've got time and come back and watch that thing. And not only that show, but any shows in the future. What a wonderful technology that they have provided for us. What an inconvenient way to lose out on our prayer time. Oh, somebody talk to me. Because I have DVR, but it doesn't rule my life. You know who rules my life? I've got another three letters for you. G-O-D. That's the one that I depend on, whether it's 6:30 on a Thursday or midnight on a Saturday or in the moment in time when the doctor's saying you've got cancer or if the doctor's trying to give you a bad report. We don't put our trust in a DVR. We don't put our trust in a copay. We don't put our trust in Obamacare. We've got to put our trust in something greater than our technology and our own wisdom. His ways are above our ways. That means our priorities should be to what we trust in. Oh, let's read a couple more of these and I'll get out of your way. I'm trying to be conscious of the time, I assure you. Psalm 121, verse 5. And God gave me this simply to say, use your security system to keep things on watch when you're not around. At verse 5 and 121 of Psalm, it says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. I heard another part of the Bible where it says that I find a place in the cleft of the rock. And I find another place, Brother Odiva, where it says, if I make it to heaven, thou art there. If I had to make my bed in hell, I know that you're there. The children of Israel walked with a cloud by day and a fire by night. The prophets of God were always led to where there was water and manna. And when there wasn't, it rained out of heaven. Who am I talking to right now? I don't care the circumstance you're dealing with. If you don't have it, God can rain it out of heaven. And if you feel like you're in the wilderness, just like we preached about Hagar on Friday, He'll get you to the oasis. He'll get you to a place where you can hear from God. So we've got to acknowledge that. As we draw the line around us, we've got to acknowledge that even, and here's the deal, even when I don't even have time to stress about this right now, God has it. That's what I heard in my spirit earlier today. There's a lot of people that literally are losing sleep because they want to make sure their eyes are always on the problem, making sure that it gets solved and gets fixed. You're losing sleep over something that God already has in control. I feel that under the anointing of God. You're losing sleep, you're losing stress, you're losing things that you should have meant to keep a hold of. Because stress produces deception. We get aggravated, oh, they don't care. One moment we're shaking hands, and another minute I'm like, forget you, man. One minute we're happy, the next minute we're not answering the phone when they call us, right? One minute we're good and we receive the word of the prophet, then the next time they say something, we're like, I don't know about that, brother. Let me tell you, anything God ever speaks through the anointing is true. Whether you deny it or not. He said, try the spirits and see if it be among you. And any time I've ever felt God's anointing in a word, it has been true. I might have not wanted it, but it was still true anyway. If we learn to only but acknowledge, He has us covered. It's like the song they were singing tonight, Peace of God, cover me. Reminds me of another song, Remind Me, Dear Lord. Reminds me of a different kind of thing that God always talks about, that He is God with us. He's God for us. He is all about our situation. So don't lose stress this week. Think, you may not even remember the scriptures we read. May not even remember half of what I said. But I felt this deeper than anything else I preached tonight. You're losing sleep and stress over things God already has in control. We only but have to hold on by faith and draw a line and shut the door in secret. And let the Lord know by how we live and letting our light shine. It's easy. Everybody else will try to preach it so hard you never make it. But I'm telling you, it's easy. Get up, do the best that you can. If you wrong somebody, apologize. If you do things that you're not proud of, repent of it. Get it out of your way and just keep on walking. I don't care how many times you fall. Get back up again and keep on walking, because if God still has you here for another day, you might feel like a failure, but the Lord's reaching out and saying, come on, I want to make you a success. He wants you to prosper and be in what? So that tells me if I'm doing anything else, then it's not His plan. While you're getting there, let me read this to you. Trusting God in a situation that you cannot change takes unnecessary stress from you and allows you to focus on the spiritual warfare instead. We stop worrying about the flesh of people, feelings of people, and get focused on what really matters. He said, if you'd seek me first in the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, all these other things I'll add to you. Let me read this to you. Knowing that God is our protector in things we cannot see helps us to live a more righteous life, and it helps us to be in His favor by living right so that we have more help than we would have ever had on our own. You can't just get by on trying to do what is right in your own mind. You've got to learn to do what is right according to the Word of God. And as we do that, we have favor upon us. And it's just like the cloak that was put upon Joseph. It was just like the covering that protected 200 in a battle against thousands. It was a protection against people that had nothing to do but march around in silence until they let the trumpet sound. It's important to remember that He is your protector. He's not only your blessor, He is your protector. He is your fortress, your high tower, your refuge. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31. Let's read this tonight. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, say the word afterward, he repented and went. And then came the second, and he said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but didn't go. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? People around them said unto him, the first. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Having something to arm yourself to protect you in the event of a breach is the most important thing that you're going to have. When Jesus was in the wilderness, He didn't have a great company of disciples pushing Satan off, saying, we don't have time for you today. He was led of the Spirit, say, to the wilderness. To it. Not from it. To it. He was led into it. And without the protection of His people, the company, the fame, the popularity, He began to face the greatest trials that He had faced prior to the crucifixion. And Satan came to Him to tempt Him, to lead Him away from the very things that He had beheld. Blinded eyes to be opened, lepers to be cleansed, lame to get up from their bed and to walk, people that had been harlots to be delivered, to be made new, prophecies, miracles, things that nobody else could have performed, lest it had been through Him in that hour. But the greatest thing that He had to face when everything else had been taken and broken was the temptation to give up. Now, I know some of you may never want to admit, because you're a proud Christian, that you have ever been tempted to give up before. But I'm telling you, if you've been through enough, you've heard that call. And I'm here to tell you that there are churches full of empty pews, not because somebody said something that offended them. There are places that are dying out, not because the preacher's not preaching it good enough, but the pews are growing empty. Hearts are becoming discouraged, because when they get faced all about them, encamped by the enemy, they begin to hear that question, well, why don't you just give up? That's what He was saying to Christ. Why don't you just bow? Command that stone that it be made of bread and eat. He had already been fasting. He was already led to a place of weakness in His flesh. The devil comes to take your stuff. And when he comes to take your stuff, you're going to feel vulnerable every now and then. You're going to feel hurt. You're going to be offended. Your body's going to give out on you sometimes. I never thought in all my years, I grew up through my teens and 20s feeling good, Brother Joe. But I found that in the entrance of my 30s, I don't roll out of bed like I used to. Oh, Lord, I don't even have bowel movements like I used to. I don't have the teeth I used to have. I don't have the waist size I used to have. Things are different now. I don't have the mind I used to have. Things I used to remember, I have to be reminded. People I used to know, I've already forgotten. What's your name, by the way? I'm just kidding. I love Brother Matt. When you go through enough, you're going to feel vulnerable. But what do you arm yourself with when the devil is right in your midst? The only thing that is ever going to prosper when you are in a direct attack of the three different kinds of spiritual attacks. Possession, vexation, I'm trying to remember the third one. There's three different kinds. There's a kind that just comes every now and again. Just tries to bother you, to throw you off your game. Then there's a vexation, one that's more persistent. And as you leave it around you, then it becomes possession. It becomes a part of you. How many of you have ever seen people possessed? How many of you have ever been in services where people possessed needed to be delivered? I don't want to ask this, but I've got to ask it, Odavia. How many of you have ever been in one where they should have been delivered, but they weren't because the church wasn't ready? That's a shame. I never read in the Bible where somebody went by faith that they failed. Do you? The only time that they ever failed was when they were unprepared. And when they encountered a direct encounter by somebody that had a possession, they said, how do we conquer this kind of thing? And he told them, this thing comes by prayer and fasting. Jesus had been praying and fasting, led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And let me tell you what comes out of you when those two things are going on in your life. This right here. The Word of God. When everything else fails you, everybody forsakes you, and you feel the most vulnerable, the Word of God will not fail you. I wish I had time to set up an hour session to read with you and do devotionals with everybody in the church, but honey, there's not enough time. You can't do 26 hours of work in a 24-hour day. You can only go so far and do so much. And God saw that man could not handle the load of the people. So what did he do? He equipped us all with a way to understand how we win. He gave us all the means to understand it. And if King James isn't for you, read NIV if it makes more sense. Get to a version that talks to you and stop worrying about people saying KJV or nothing. Hit the road, Jack. I'm here to tell you that when God saved me, I don't care what version it was. When it spoke to me, it caused me to be different. So I don't know what version that it was when it happened. All that I know is that it came from the Word of God. Whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No offense if you've got a KJV bumper sticker. I'm just here to tell you there's more than one version in the world. We've got to learn to obey God. That's the whole point of that scripture. There was one that even said, I don't want to go, but changed his mind and did it anyway. When you're vulnerable and pressed against the wall, the only thing that's going to keep your fire alive is your obedience. This is going to be my last request of you tonight. Look over at your neighbor and say, you've got to obey God. You want to keep your fire alive? Don't you come in here and wait on me to be on fire, because I might be the one that's vulnerable and needs your help. You can't put your trust in man. You can't put people on a pedestal, and you can't not expect them to fail every now and again. That's why we all have to obey him. It's what keeps the fire alive. Well, brother, what do you mean by obey him? Well, if everybody's praising God and you're looking around wondering, well, wonder what I could do. How about you praise the Lord with them? How about it, brother? If everybody's beginning to get in the presence of God and you're thinking to yourself, well, I wonder what I could do to contribute right now. How about you just rise up and join them? It's like I said earlier, God put this in my spirit. We have generations of people that have been through so much. We have young generations that have no idea what's ahead of them. And it's up to us that know the way to teach those that do not, right? How are they ever going to learn unless we show it? You cannot demonstrate physical labor jobs unless you actually get down in the ditch and do it. Some stuff you just can't learn by a book. Some people can read the Bible all day and they still won't understand just how good God is. But if you got up and showed them how good God was, that makes more of a difference than any pamphlet you can give them. Amen. Any literature, any devotional to pass along. Those things are good. But those things are for people on the mountain. Devotionals aren't always useful when you're in the valley and vulnerable. When Jesus had nothing left, he used the Word of God. He told him, man shall not live by bread alone. And he declared unto the enemy, it is written. He was reestablishing to Satan that despite your efforts, it's still going to prevail. Let me read this last part to you. Even when we have failed in the past, it is better to get back up again and try to strive for a stronger walk with God than it would be to give up altogether. Obedience to God's commands is the true sign of your love for Him. Not for preacher, not for worship leader, not for choir. Your obedience to God is how you show Him that you love Him. If you obey the Word of God, I guarantee you by the promises that are wrote in His Word, you'll see things begin to be differently. But here's my last reality for you. Pardon my pointing, I feel bold. Here's my last reality for you. If you're not going to be willing to change your priorities, if you're not going to be willing to lay some things down to see things different, if you're not going to be willing to pray in secret and have some prayer time with God, if you're not going to use the Word as your weapon to defend yourself, then I cannot promise you you're going to make it. But if you will abide in what God has commanded us to do, I don't care what gender we are. I don't care what color we are. I don't care our education or our background. He said that He has made us all more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. More than overcomers. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of what you've been through makes you able to bear the things you need to bear.